First Corinthians back there. Lord willing, we'll complete this chapter. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 34. It's apropos that we should be here, or appropriate, because next Sunday will be the Lord's Supper. So, this morning, submission and authority, the roles of both men and women in the local church and even in society. Paul now goes on to the next issue to be dealt with in the Corinthian church, and that was coming to the Lord's table in a way that was dishonoring to Christ. They were coming to the Lord's table in a way that was dishonoring to Christ. And apparently when you read this in the history of the Corinthian church, they would come to the Lord's table as to a feast. They would come hungry. They would come and fill their bellies. They would come and drink the wine. And so they weren't coming for the right reason. And Paul even says that when we're reading the text, you'll see. He says, when you come together into one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. But that's why they were coming together, though. They were coming together to eat the Lord's Supper, and Paul says, no, you're not. Basically, he tells them, this is dishonoring to Christ. And so that's basically what he sets forth. And listen, we've gone through this, as you know, almost a myriad of times, because this is really one of the foundational passages for us to make sure that we come to the Lord's table the right way. So, again, if you were here this morning, I briefly commented on this. You remember Paul reproved the Corinthian church slightly, I would say, in the beginning. In verse 2, when he says, now I praise you, brethren, verse 2, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. So he's telling them, keep the ordinances that I deliver to you. And then we went to verse 17, and he'll say this again in this section. And he says, now in this, though, this new thing that we're dealing with, he says, I'm not praising you, I praise you not. And so that's where we'll pick up, and we'll start in verse 17. He says, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. And remember we commented on that. They were coming together, and they were worse for coming together and not better. And that should never be the case for the gathering of the saints. We should never be worse after gathering together. We should always be better. And so, and listen, that's an oversight thing for everybody in the church. Listen, if you're gathering at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church and you're leaving and you're worse, you got to bring that up. Yep, you know. Listen, it could be an isolated thing. I don't know, but I'm just saying this is something that we need to be aware of. We should never be worse for gathering. We should be edified, built up, sanctified, brought closer to Christ, strengthened. Now, I want you to notice how often he says, come together in this chapter, when you come together. But he gives different reasons for them coming together or things happening after they come together. So verse 18, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? He says, there must be heresies among you, and the reason he seems to be saying here is so that those that are approved might be made manifest. It's like the cream rising to the top. And so, it's an interesting prospect here that Paul sets forth and that the Lord teaches us. Verse 20, when you come together, therefore, into one place, there it is again, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For an eating, and this is what they were doing, for an eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? So Paul really gives them a sharp rebuke here that they despise the church of God. He says, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this cup, this bread, and drink this cup, you do show or you demonstrate the Lord's death till he come. You're remembering it. Verse 27, Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, there it is again, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your blessings. We pray that you would speak to us and help us, Father, that we would never come together and dishonor you in any way, Lord, in any gathering. But especially here in one of the ordinances of the New Testament church, in that coming to the Lord's Supper, coming to the table of the Lord, where we would commune with thee in the elements, Lord, in the bread and in the juice, the fruit of the vine. Lord, I pray that we would always do it the way in which we show that we do discern the Lord's body. And so, Father, I pray, even in this, that you would discover true faith in us. And, Father, even for those, perhaps, that do eat and drink unworthily, that you would discover where there is no faith. And, Lord, we would desire that there would be true and sincere faith in all those that partake. Help us this night, Lord. We thank you for this gathering. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in verse 17, Paul said, You are not coming together for the better, if you see there, but for the worse. And we just said that, and we commented on that this morning. And then in verse 18, Paul says, When you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. Now, how did Paul know this? Well, go back to 1 Corinthians 1. Now remember, Paul's writing this letter, and I don't know how long it took Paul to write this letter. We've been in 1 Corinthians for a long time. But he's writing the letter, and so don't think of this as a long period of time. He's writing this letter to them, and in 1 Corinthians 1:10, in the beginning of the epistle, Paul told the church, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's like saying, you ought to all be the same. There shouldn't be any schisms. There shouldn't be any infighting. There shouldn't be any contentions. He says that in the next verse. And this is where Paul heard it. Because you'll see throughout the epistle, Paul tells the Corinthians, I heard, well, where did he hear it from? Probably from the house of Chloe. Probably someone whom he trusted. So he says, It hath been declared unto me, of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And of course, he goes on there to talk about those that said, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas. And he goes on to say, you need to be of Christ. And so we see in 1 Corinthians 1:10 and 11 that there were contentions. And listen, where there's contention, the Bible says only by pride comes contention. That's Proverbs 13:10. So now there's a contentious congregation. And Paul says that if you're back in chapter 11. He says, when you come together in the church, I hear that there are divisions among you. That's intuitively obvious, or it's two things that are opposites. You're coming together, but you're not really coming together because you're against each other. There's divisions. And Paul says, I partly believe it. And I'm not quite sure what he means by that, but he means he partly believes it. So we'll just leave it at that. So Paul goes on to say, he says, since there are contentions among you, since there are divisions among you, there must also be heresies among you. Now, we all know what heresies are. Heresy is false teaching. It's things that are not true. It's things that are not from the Word of God. Corrupt doctrine. Things that would draw you away from Christ and not toward Christ. And then Paul makes this strange statement. He says, there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved, may be made manifest among you. And so, that's very interesting. So, God allowed heresies into the church. And we need to see that. He allowed heresies into this New Testament church. And listen, this is the first century, and Satan was going to be on the attack. He's going to attack every church. So here is the Corinthian church in its infancy, and God allowed heresies to come in among them so that they which were approved, that is, genuine believers, might be made manifest or recognized among them. Listen, if there's one thing that someone who believes false doctrine will do in a church, it will make truth rise, and you'll see who is a believer of the truth. And that's what Paul says here. Now you'll be able to recognize in the congregation those who are sound in the faith. Those that may be approved. So get that. There must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Sometimes the designs of God are very strange. But this verse, the fragrance of it is God's design. Couldn't think of another word. God moves in mysterious ways, and this is one of them. So, now do we want heresies to come in among us? No, we don't. And we're to preach sound doctrine, and we're to keep a good watch on that here at Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. But Paul says here, if it does come up, this is God's design in it. So, we move on to verse 20. That's when he says, there, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. So they were, in effect, filling their plates to fill and satisfy their hungry bellies and drinking wine as if they were at a feast. I mean, I hate to use this example, but it would be like the feast we had today, back there. They were coming to the Lord's Supper for that, like that. They weren't tarrying one for another. They weren't bearing one of those burdens. They weren't coming with the right heart and with the right attitude to the Lord's Supper. And so there was no introspection. There was no remembrance of the broken body and shed blood of the Lord. They were only concerned with satisfying the hunger of their bellies, but there was no hunger and thirst after righteousness. There was no desire to honor the Lord. There was no, do this in remembrance of me. How could you come to the Lord's table to satisfy your sensual appetite for food and do it in such a way that was dishonoring to the Lord? Paul said, I do not praise you in this. I praise you not. And so, verse 21, he describes, of course, how they came. He says, for in eating, that is what should have been the Lord's Supper, one taketh before other his own supper. So not the Lord's supper, but his own supper. I'm not just going to take a piece of broken bread. I'm going to take the whole thing. So everyone take it before his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and drink in? Take care of your earthly hunger at home before you come to the Lord's table. Or do you despise the church of God? This was the accusation coming from Paul. And you are shaming them that had not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And then he goes on to show us how the Lord's Supper should be taken. And this is what I received, Paul says, and we'll read this. In fact, verse 23, 26, for I have received of the Lord, this is the command that I have received of the Lord. So Paul's saying, I've received this of or from the Lord Jesus, and this is also what I delivered, or what I have entrusted to you, church. I've entrusted this Lord's Supper, ordinance. I've entrusted this ordinance to you, church, the partaking of the Lord's Supper. This is not your own supper. See there, he says, I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. He wanted them to see, this is why you're coming together. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, which is how they were doing it, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So eating the bread and drinking the cup of the Lord unworthily is precisely what they were doing. And listen, we don't want to do that. Now listen, we have a different problem. I say problem, but a thing that concerns me is when someone does take the Lord's Supper and they take it not in faith. They take it not discerning the Lord's body. They just take it and they eat it and they take the juice and they drink it, but they do not take it in faith. They do not take it discerning the Lord's body, believing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, and that his sacrifice, his broken body and his shed blood was for them. And listen, I'll take this a step further. Even in believers, brethren, when we come together, we are to be discerning the Lord's body. You can eat and drink of it as a believer unworthily, I believe, when you don't discern the Lord's body, when you come not in faith, when you come and you've made light of sin. After all, Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he died for what you're professing and confessing by taking the Lord's Supper, that he died for your sin. And so it is a time for introspection. It's a time for us to come and examine our own lives. Again, I take you back to verse 20. They were coming together to eat the Lord's Supper unworthily and in a way that dishonored the Lord. Dishonored the Lord Jesus. And so Paul says they were guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. So instead of honoring the Lord Jesus Christ and remembering his sacrifice for their sins, and listen, that should do something to you. It should do something in you. When you come, it brings you back, and it ought to bring you back to the salvation of your soul. It brings you back to, Lord, I believed on you. And not just brings you back, but it brings you to the present. Yes, I believe on you now, Lord, that you died for my sins now. And so your faith in Christ and in his shed blood and broken body for your sins comes to the surface. They weren't doing that. In fact, turn to Hebrews 10, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 28. The writer of Hebrews, he penned here in verse 28, Hebrews 10, 28. So again, the Corinthians were guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Instead of honoring the Lord Jesus and remembering his sacrifice for their sins, they dishonored Christ by polluting the Lord's table with their sin. So they didn't honor God. They dishonored God. Hebrews 10, 28. The writer here talks about him that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Think about that in the Old Covenant law. Died without mercy. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so, when we come to the Lord's table, and we're not serious about it, we actually make it like a common meal. It means nothing, and it should mean something. There's nothing efficacious in the elements. They don't make you any more saved, but it's your faith which should be strengthened and made more operative. Your faith should be strengthened in the Lord, and you should honor the Lord in your participation. So in verse 28, what Paul says here, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So participation, saint of God, absolutely. But participation only after examination. Participation only after examination. So listen, the Lord's Supper is a time to try yourself. Do I possess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his person and work alone? It's not a bad question to ask yourself betimes in your own Christian life. That's, listen, those are the conversations, the secret conversations and prayers that we are to be having with our Lord. Is that we go to him and we converse with him and we commune with him. He's the one whom we are to, as Hannah did, pour out her soul to the Lord. When she was in bitterness of spirit, beloved, we are to pour out our souls to the Lord. Thomas Brooks said we are to tear open our bosoms so that God can see it all. He knows it all already, but it pleases God when we tell him all. Listen, people have their best friends in the world that they tell everything to. God should be that one that you tell everything to. God should be. And not just telling him those things, but coming to him for comfort, for wisdom, for direction, and then following up in his holy word. But listen, we need to examine ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Just to show you that this is a biblical thing for us to examine ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul writes this at the end of the second letter to this church. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobates. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. And so, beloved, the point there, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Philippians 2:12. The book of Philippians 2 and verse 12. Paul said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, when it comes right down to it, brethren, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will stand with not another's faith, but with our own. And so we must walk by our own faith in Christ. And then 2 Peter, one more passage, 2 Peter 1:10. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Peter 1:10. The Apostle Peter here, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Be diligent in it. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And so we are to be examiners of our faith. We are to work out our own salvation. We are to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. And now back to 1 Corinthians. We'll finish out here. 1 Corinthians 11, 29 and 30. So we see here, let a man examine himself, verse 28. And then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So participation after examination. And then verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, here's the consequences to actually coming to the table of the Lord. And I can't tell you that I know precisely what these consequences are. Now, Paul writes here, when they eat and drink unworthily, they eat and drink damnation. The word literally means condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. If there's anything you want to be when you come to the Lord's Supper, you want to be a discerner of the Lord's body. You want to be a discerner of Christ. You want to be one that understands and believes his sacrificial death on the cross for you and for your sins. You want to be a believer of that. And listen, as a Christian, we're going to wake up and believe that every day. I said a moment ago, you go back to when you believe, but back when you believe then doesn't matter so much as what you believe today. It matters, but your profession of faith in Christ is what you believe now. Do you believe now that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe today that he died on the cross for your sins? Do you repent of your sins now and today? Do you continue to do that? Are you living a life of faith? Paul says, now is your salvation nearer than when you believe. How is that so? Because we're to be living by faith every single day. We walk by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not by sight. So, he says, for this cause, those that eat and drink unworthily, many are weakly and sick among you, and many sleep. For, and this is good biblical truth for us every day. Verse 31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So you should be the judge of yourself. You should judge yourself every day. You should be judging yourself in accordance with God's word. But it says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. If you're a child of God, remember Hebrews talks about that. Hebrews 12, 5. Proverbs says, my son, my daughter, despise not the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And so, listen, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Chastening is good. We want that from God. So we're chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. We judge ourselves now. The world does not do that. We don't want to be condemned with the world. So Paul says, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, there it is again, to eat, tarry one for another. They were coming together, and some of the people in the front of the line, if I could kind of bring this into common terms, they were taking all of the bread. I mean, it was like a free-for-all feast. It was very dishonoring to the Lord. Paul says, tarry one for another. And if any man's hungry, verse 34, eat at home. Eat at home. Now listen, this is what was happening in Corinth. We can't imagine that because, quite frankly, I don't think we would have this problem that they had. But this is what was happening in Corinth. And he says, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. I would say, let us examine ourselves and discern the Lord's body, that we come not together unto condemnation. And then Paul's says, and the rest will I set in order when I come. So there was more that he would deal with when he came to see the Corinthians personally. So, again, next week we'll have the Lord's Supper. Next Sunday will be the 4th, actually, of July. So it'll be the first Sunday. And I think it's good that we have the Lord's Supper once a month. The Bible says, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup. So, this is a strengthening ordinance of the New Testament church, beloved. We are brought to the cross, specifically brought to the sacrifice of Christ once a month. Brought to examine ourselves. We are brought to discern the Lord's body on that first Sunday of every month, Lord willing. And he said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We are to remember his death till we come. It should never be far from our thoughts. And not just on this first Sunday of the month, beloved. It should be in our hearts and minds every day. Paul said, I don't want to know anything among you, he told the Corinthians, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you went and talked to Paul, you were going to hear about the cross. And listen, if someone could peel back our thoughts, the cross should always be one of those preeminent thoughts in our minds, that we should always be there. So, we'll stop right there and ask the Lord to dismiss us in prayer. This, we've gone through the whole 11th chapter, and I pray this has been profitable for each one of you. So, I'm asking Brother Derek, glad to have you back, and dismiss us in prayer.
Father, we're so thankful for the Word, and Lord, how you've blessed over and over and over. Lord, the Spirit of God meeting with us, and Lord, we pray that you'll continue to work in each of our hearts. Lord, help us to do as we've been instructed this evening, to examine ourselves and to do that oftentimes. Lord, again, we're grateful for what you do for us. So thankful for the precious blood that was spilled for our sins, that was willingly sacrificed for us. We're grateful for it, Lord. Lord, we look forward to the day in which we will be able to worship you without any sin, without any carefree thoughts, but our whole focus, mind, soul, and all will be focused on you throughout eternity. We look forward to that blessed day, perhaps even tonight, Lord, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.